Well, good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sabbath. It's good to be here in Beloit again. I will mention it was a quick, easy drive up here, no big deal. As soon as we opened those doors, it was colder up here, and you could just feel that chilly wind come through our van. So hopefully we're all staying warm and having a good week, but we get to come together again as family, and that's wonderful. There was a recent survey that was conducted, and over about 2,000 British adults responded. So this was over in the UK area. The company BIC, if you're familiar with pens and stationery, BIC, the company, they put together the survey. And what they found was some interesting things and conclusions from the survey. But one of the items that they found, they asked some different elements that related to frustrations and temper. What they found was they asked these different questions. For instance, one question had to do with searching for a pen. What they found, a lot of the respondents said that they became frustrated, or even sometimes tempers would flare if they took longer than 18 seconds to search for that pen. There's another one. Several people were asked about ink drying, right? Because it's a very important thing if you're making pens. I want to make sure the ink dries quickly. Many members responded and said that they began to be frustrated if they had to wait longer than 20 seconds for ink to dry on their greeting card. Some people, when discussing traffic and driving, many members that responded to the survey, they mentioned that they became very frustrated and some even very angry if they had to wait longer than 25 seconds for the light to change when they stopped at a red light. 25 seconds. I know maybe you feel, and you've been in that situation, feels like an eternity. You're waiting just those 20 seconds. Something more specific with the British. You know, they like their tea. You know, some Americans drink tea. But many responded that they were very frustrated, sometimes very angry. They had to wait longer than 28 seconds for that water to boil. Now, I've never timed water when it's boiling. And they say water never boils if you're watching it. I don't know how that works. But 28 seconds seems so fast to me, and yet many responded that that was not quick enough. One thing that they realized from this survey is that they found out that a majority of people are incredibly impatient. You know, they came to the conclusion maybe based on modern luxuries, and definitely there's something to play in with that. You see, patience is a good thing, but it's sometimes lacking in many of us around in the world. And so for today, I'd like to see how the Bible uses what we would say patience. You know, see the different words that are used as patience in God's word. And as we go through this, we'll see how as Christians, we need to grow in patience daily. And so let's start today by looking at some definitions. You know, if you're familiar with the original written word of the Bible, majority, we have two languages. The majority of it is written as two languages. There's a couple others in there. But in the Hebrew side of the Bible, there's a word that's translated as patience, and it's yahal, and it means to wait or to hope. To wait or to hope. It's seen often associated with waiting calmly. You wouldn't become too frustrated or angry while waiting. Sometimes in the Bible, it's used for short periods of times, sometimes very long periods of time, but nevertheless, people would wait calmly. There's a resource, Theological Word Book of the Old Testament, TWOT, has a phrase that links this word, and it says, it's often linked with faith and trust, and then it results in patiently waiting. This is this one Hebrew word. There's another Hebrew word that we'll look at today. Turn with me, if you would, over to Nehemiah chapter 9. I was just talking about this earlier before services. I think we would have saved a lot of people a headache in remembering our kids' names if we just named them Ezra and then Nehemiah. But we had to go with Ezekiel, and now everyone thinks Ezra, Nehemiah. But so if you're like me and you think of books of the Bible in categories, we got Ezra, Nehemiah. That's where it's at. Nehemiah chapter 9. If we start with a little bit of context, because we're jumping in here, of course, whenever you go to a scripture. But it says in verse 1, now on the 24th day of this month. So the people were during a month. If you look back a couple scriptures earlier, we're actually in the seventh month of their calendar that they're observing. And that seventh month, if you remember, that's the month that we observe the fall holy day season, right? You have the trumpets and atonement and Feast of Tabernacles and the last great day. Those are all found in the seventh month. And what we find here is that the people were actually keeping those feast days. And it's very interesting. You can read right before it in chapter 8. It talks about how since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until this day, the children of Israel had not done so. You know, so they were keeping the feast in a manner that they hadn't done so in a long time. You know, as a whole assembly. And as we see, they get really enthusiastic. They get really joyful when they celebrate it. But then there's a shift in attitude almost. We go from excitement in verse 1. We see, so it's on the 24th day. So this is 2 days after the last great day, or the eighth day after the feast. And we see that they were assembled with fasting in sackcloth and with dust on their heads. So, right, we most likely they would have fasted on Day of Atonement, but now we see them in another fast. You see, during this time of the Feast of Tabernacles, the last great day, they would have been reading from the law. It says that right before chapter 9. And no doubt when they were reading through the law, they would have been remembering their sins. You know, this was something that they had found and they became really enthusiastic about. And then they probably saw where they maybe were a little short with what God needed wanted us to do. And they remembered their fathers and how their fathers had committed sins throughout the years. In fact, that's where it's actually going in chapter 9. All the people come together and they're fasting and they come to God and they have this sort of, I don't know if you'd call it a prayer or a song or something, and they kind of have this this recorded history, and it kind of plays throughout chapter 9. In fact, it starts, it talks about verse 6, "You alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens." So nice introductory statement. It talks with Abram in verse 7, you know, "You chose Abram. You brought him out of the land of the Chaldeans." And it starts with that historical, and it kind of goes through the people of Israel. But we're going to actually go all the way to verse 29 today. Because remember, we're talking about patience and how God inspired these writers to use these Hebrew words that then through time we have in English, patience. But if we see in verse 29, it says, "And testified against them." So God testified against them that you, God, or the Lord, might bring them back to your law. Yet they, the people, the fathers, acted proudly, and they did not heed your commandments, but sinned against your judgments. Which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they shrugged their shoulders, they stiffened their necks, and they would not hear. Yet for many years you had patience with them, and testified against them by your Spirit in your prophets, yet they would not listen. Therefore, you gave them into the hands of the peoples of the lands. You see, what we find in the history of Israel, and you could say even in modern times Israel, we are in this cycle of maybe a saving, a returning to God, a time of rest, and then a disobedience. And they're in this cycle, especially you can read through the book of Judges, and you can see that cycle of coming back to God, being saved, a time of rest, and then disobedience and punishment, and then saving again. And so God here has testified against them to bring them back. And but as we see here in verse 30, it said, "But yet for many years you had patience with them." That's the Hebrew word that we'll look at here, another one. This is the Hebrew word masach. And that's translated here as patience. And what the meaning really is to draw or to drag, maybe even seize. And we see this used throughout scriptures a little bit differently in different places. But here it's translated as patience. In the King James Version, if you have that, I believe it's forbear or forbearance. In this instant, it has the meaning and it's drawing out to calmly restrain from a certain action. Calmly restrain from punishment, if you would. It's not saying that God does not punish people, because the very next lines in the scripture does say he turns them over to the hands of the people. In the lands. But in this time, God dealt with them and he was patient. He waited for that action. He restrained from that action. Let's go back. Now we'll jump back to verse 17. So follow me if you would at verse 17. We'll see another Hebrew word that's translated a little bit differently, but brings across another little piece of the puzzle as we put together patience as it's used in the Bible. Verse 17 says, "They refused to obey. And they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them, but they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. If you remember, there was times in their history, this specifically looking back at when they were to go in the land of Canaan, they rose up and they say, let's grab a leader for ourselves and let's return back to Egypt. They wanted to return back to captivity. So they're recounting this in the history of their people. But it continues, but you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. They may be asking, you know, it doesn't say patience there, but it's interesting, the phrase slow to anger. That's the next word that we're going to look at. That's actually a composite word from two Hebrew words. One of them is arek, A-R-E-K. Now, that'd be the English letters. Arek. And the other half would be apam or apayim, depending on what form you're looking at in the manuscripts. And these two words, arek, has the meaning of long. So not short, but long. And then apayim would have been nostril or nose or face, sometimes associated with just this part of your body. And so you get this word picture, if you will, of a long nose or a long nostril, which if you're, you know, if you have grandchildren or kids and familiar with Disney stories, there's Pinocchio. It brought that to mind immediately. That's not what's being talked about here. That character had a long nose for a completely different reason. But what we see here in the Hebrew, it's very picture language. And it's bringing together this idea of breathing. You see, because when situations arise and we quickly act, you know, we act too quickly or too harsh, sometimes we have shallowed breathing, right? We get really quick. We get really tense. Our face maybe gets really red. Blood pressure rises. All sorts of things happen. But on the converse, what's being displayed here with this Hebrew word is this long nose, taking a long breath and letting things sit for a minute. You see, God was slow to anger, and he is slow to anger. He's slow to anger. He takes a pause. He takes a deep breath. If you take notes, write down Acts 13:18. You can look at that a little bit later. Paul is speaking, and it's recorded. He's talking about this same type of period in Israel's history where they wandered through the wilderness. And he says throughout that period, the way he uses the Greek, now in a different language, he said, and it's translated in English as, you know, God put up with them. You know, he put up with the people, really implying an extensive patience with the people. You know, God is slow to anger. He's very patient at times. You know, these are the main Hebrew words we see when we look through the Bible concerning with patience or long suffering. We've heard that term. But we see it mainly of these three Hebrew forms. But again, we're getting little pieces of how the Bible uses patience. Here we see just a little bit more. Now let's turn to another language, right? The other majority language in the Bible is Greek. It's written in Greek. Turn with me, if you would, over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. There's a lot going on in this section of Scripture, and we're kind of jumping into a different thought, but I want to take a different angle for what's being spoken of here. Verse 20, we'll start with 20, and we're jumping right in the middle of the thought. It says, who formerly were disobedient. So we're going to put that aside for right now, but it says, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared. So there's something talked about a little bit earlier, which there's a lot going on in this section. We won't deal with it today. But what I wanted to bring out is this Greek word here that says divine long suffering. You see, this is a Greek word, makrothumia. Makrothumia. I'd be tempted to spell it for you, but just go ahead and make it up however it sounds, and that's probably close enough. Because if you're familiar, right, it's English letters of Hebrew letters. But makrothumia. And this here, it means to wait. Again, we see it used in the meaning of slow to anger, as we saw in the Hebrew. It's even a delay in judgment. Not that judgment doesn't come, but sometimes it's delayed. It's translated in the New Testament as patience, or steadfast. It's sometimes translated as bears long or long suffering or suffers long. But what we can see here is there is a time that God waited. You know, while the ark was being prepared, you know, God's all powerful. He could have easily just built the ark real quick for Noah. But there was some time that needed to take place, and God gave that time, and he long suffered, as it said here, while the ark was being prepared. Just another way that we see these words building the meaning of patience as God sees them. Together, when you think about the Greek and the Hebrew, there's a combination of waiting or holding on to something. You know, you have the dragging or the ceasing. Like you're dragging through something, taking time and not becoming too angry too quickly. And even that great word picture, if you think of the Hebrew, waiting for that long of nose, taking that long breath. And you can think of these coming together to really paint the picture of patience as seen in the Bible. What's interesting to me is when I was going through this, you know, we can see from these examples some surface definitions of patience, long-suffering, forbearance. But hopefully, while we are reading through this, we realize something that kind of ties them all together. Because you can pick up an interlinear or a concordance, and you can look up these Hebrew and these Greek words and find all sorts of examples. But the ones I chose today were to show the examples that God has with people. You see, God is slow to anger. He takes that long breath when dealing with us at times. You know, it's a modern way of saying it, but, you know, God puts up with us at time, right? As we saw, we didn't turn there in Acts, but very similar. And what we can see from this is that, patience, it's a pattern that's clearly seen in the Bible. It's a pattern that we ultimately look to and seeing it in God. We see it in God, we see it in Jesus Christ, and we see that God is long-suffering. Turn with me over one book to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 9. This is a good memory scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Let's go back to verse 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. You know, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. God makes promises. He even sometimes deals out judgments. He's not slack concerning those. It says, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, God is not slack, but sometimes he's long-suffering. He waits. He delays. A lot of times, if you look at this example here, you know, he doesn't want anybody to perish. He's giving us time. He's giving us time to answer the call, to live right, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before him. He's waiting for those things. He's long-suffering, allowing us those times to repent and to build that character, allow his spirit to build Jesus Christ's character within us. And we see these similar quotations all throughout the Bible. You know, God is gracious. He's merciful. He's slow to anger. You know, this is a pattern that we see from our loving God. He's patient. He's loving. And it's something that we then need to emulate. And it's an example we'll see in 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We see this continuation of a pattern of patience. We see that God is patient. God is long-suffering. Jesus is patient. And so the people that follow Jesus Christ should imitate in all of those qualities, including patience. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12. Here Paul is writing to Timothy, an elder at the time, maybe a type of regional type pastor maybe. He had over several areas. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. And they said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance or worthy of all understanding, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtain mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. You know, Paul here is writing up a really quick autobiography, right? Not as detailed as other autobiographies out there. Excuse me. You know, he says, but I am formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man. And he says, I'm a chief sinner. But we see that Jesus Christ, he obtained mercy, and Jesus Christ, so that he could show all long suffering. All long suffering. The Greek here, and it's translated pretty well, because it's all long suffering. The Greek indicating it's not just a part of something, it's a whole thing. It's unmeasurable. It's all the long suffering. He was showing it to him. He was waiting. He was delaying in that judgment. Jesus Christ was bearing so long. You could say he was putting up with for so long so that he could turn to him. And he, since he was once a persecutor, he was a chief sinner. And so we see this, that Jesus Christ is the pattern for those who are going to believe on him for everlasting. And we see this pattern of long suffering as of patience. And then we see a wonderful thing. It didn't just stop there with Paul. You're right. We have a pattern from God. Jesus Christ said, I do nothing of my own authority, but what if God tells me? You know, he was imitating God. He was showing godly character as a man on earth, God in the flesh. So we see this pattern going through, and then Paul picks up this pattern, and he works in all long suffering. And it continues. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now we see another letter that he would have wrote to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 10. Second Timothy chapter 3 in verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, love, perseverance. Then he goes on. I just wanted to point out here that he's a little bit of a compliment, but he's saying that you've carefully followed in this. You know, if you're familiar with the story of Timothy, right? He had grandmother in the faith, and he taught him all these things, and he was brought up in right doctrine. But we see this pattern of long-suffering continuing throughout the generations. No doubt Timothy would have been younger than Paul, referred to really young at the beginning of meeting Paul. But it's this pattern that continues on. And, you know, if you remember other scriptures that talk about imitate me as I imitate Christ, right? There's these patterns that come, and if we follow them throughout the Bible, we see this in long-suffering as well. You see, seeing God as a pattern, we must recognize then that we have the responsibility to grow in patience, to produce patience in our own lives daily. And so that's our call to action. Now, if you were to take one main thing, the call to action is we are to grow patience daily. You can think, if you've read the Fruit of the Spirit recently, Galatians 5, or if you remember it, you know, one of the pieces of the fruit is long-suffering. You know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And that's that same long-suffering, that's that same Greek word that was referred to in Noah's time, that macrothumia. You know, if we're being led by God's Spirit, a good definition of the church, those who are led by God's Spirit, then these elements of God's Spirit should be produced in our lives. And one of those elements, one of those pieces of the fruit, if you think of it kind of like a grape maybe, right? You have a bunch of grape in a bunchel, or bushel? I don't know what a bunch. Let's go with a bunch. That sounds technical, right? That the fruit of God's Spirit, you have different elements, different pieces of it. Maybe an orange is a better explanation. Let's stick to the notes. Just tell me that. But, you know, those things should be produced in us. You can think of other scriptures, right? James, it talks about, you know, letting letting patience have its perfect work in you. You know, producing patience in our lives daily. You know, we go through trials in our lives. We don't always have the easiest life. But those trials can help us produce patience and work on patience daily. And so how do we do this? That's the biggest question. How do we produce patience in our life daily? Well, there's many ways we can do it. And that's another sermon on its whole. But I wanted some key takeaways here of actionable items. You know, let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs 25, we'll look at one proverb. Proverbs 25 and verse 15. Proverbs 25 and verse 15. By long forbearance, a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone. Now, we're gonna look at the first half of that. The long forbearance, that's the same Hebrew word we looked at earlier, the arach apayim, right? That long nose, right? If you think of that wonderful word picture, that long nose. You know, because with long breaths, persuasions can happen. Here it's dealing with a ruler, but you know, if you take that time, you take that breath, you know, if we have anyone that's listening in the medical field, you know, taking breaths, long breaths can help in times of situations of tense and struggle. You know, we can think about this in our daily lives, in our driving around on the road. You know, I live down in Elgin, Illinois. I drive around the Chicago area. So I'm not sure how it is here in Beloit or in different areas. But in Chicago, it's quite busy. Everyone seems to be in a hurry all the time. Everyone's passing by me quickly on the road. And a lot of times, or maybe sometimes, people can try our patience on the road, can't they? You get cut off, you get cut off and they slow down. It's like, what is going on? You know, just put your cruise control on and let's keep it there. But they can try our patience and it gets so hard. And sometimes if we don't think about it, we can react too quickly and angry and it become this competitive thing on the road. You know, that's just an example of something we can do. I heard this story once. There was a man. He was sitting at a red light. You know, it's busy traffic area, heavy traffic, got cars all around him. Sitting at a red light, he's waiting for it to turn green. He turns on his key and he's sitting there idle. When he gets ready to go, the car stalls. Great. We got all this traffic and he starts getting the blood boiling. And honking starts immediately going on behind him. That raises pressure levels. Everyone's getting lack of patience. Finally, the guy gets out of his car and he reacts really quickly. He goes back to the gentleman behind him. He says, "Enough! I'm having some difficulty with my car here. Why don't you go ahead, get my car working? I'll sit here and lay on your horn for you." And maybe he did something a little too rash, a little goofy. But what we can do, if we think about ourselves in that situation, we can take that time to breathe. You know, if you've had kids, if you remember times in the past, I got sensitive ears sometimes, and being in a locked, closed car with those kids screaming, oh, it just boils. But taking that breath really helps. And you can think of this Hebrew word, the word picture, the long nose, the long breath. Another way that we can do in this, that we can grow in patience, is we can learn to be content in all things. You know, Paul talked about that he had learned to be abased and he had learned to be glorified, or the words he uses. He doesn't use glorified, but a similar word. But in all things, he had learned to be content. You can write down Philippians 4. That's where that's at. You know, Paul learned to be content in all things, being happy and going beyond happiness, but having joy no matter what we're going through. You can think of James, who talks about count it all joy when you fall into temptation and trials. You know, count it all joy. It may not be pleasant. It may not be the best. We may be aching. We may have sore days, but count it all joy, because through those times, we can grow in patience. You see, when you're not content in the opposite state, when you're always looking for that quote-unquote comfortable situation, that tends to lead to impatience. You know, it tends to lead to anxiousness, because you're always moving to find the solutions of comfortable states. But instead, we should remember that we should be content in all things. That instead of always looking for the comfortable, we can understand that certain things are bearable, regardless if they're uncomfortable. Being content in all states can help us grow in patience. All right, one final aspect of patience. I split up the Greek words earlier. There's actually another Greek word that is translated as patience. Another Greek word that's translated as patience is hupomone. The reason I kind of split it up, because I think it's a little bit different angle to patience. It doesn't mean waiting as much, but it's translated as patience. But it can mean courageous or hopeful endurance. And so New King James and King James will often translate this patience or long-suffering, where modern translations may do continuing or steadfast continuance or enduring through, kind of keeping the literal meaning of the word. Because throughout the Bible, we see often an analogy of running a race. That we're walking on a path. We're all going down the same place, that we're running, finishing the race strong, because steadfastness, enduring till the end, is a great quality to have and something that we need to build at. And that kind of fits in with patience in a different way. You know, we must keep up our endurance, pacing ourselves, you know, knowing where our endurance comes from. That's where I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, we'll see an example of this word used. Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatever things are written before, Romans 15 and verse 4, excuse me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. See, it's through patience, hupomone, having that courageous endurance, that endurance not built on anything we are doing, but on that hope that is coming. It says we can rely in the comfort through the scriptures. We can have hope. We can have hope in God's plan, hope in the end. Patiently waiting, continually steadfast onto our hope. Because we understand that God is patience. You know, God endures, as it says right after that. Now, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another, according to Christ Jesus. See, because we can endure, we can be steadfast. And that's another angle of how we can think about with patience. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. We'll read this scripture as a way of concluding here today. Hebrews chapter 6, you can turn there. Because brethren, as I mentioned at the beginning, you know, patience is a characteristic that is lacking in the world around us. And it's lacking ever more on a daily basis. You can blame it on modern luxuries. You know, we can get everything so quickly now. There's really no need to wait for anything in the daily basis. But we know that we should build patience. As Christians, we have the responsibility to grow in patience daily. You know, patience should be a quality of our lives daily. We must remember that God is always patient with us. That doesn't mean judgment doesn't come. God is patient and long-suffering. He is long-suffering, waiting to work out his long-term plan. That's something that we should take a hope in, understanding his plan. You know, we must stay patient, learning always to wait and hope on him. And so in Hebrews chapter 6, let's look at verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show in the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. It goes on, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. God's made a promise, and that's something we can take to the bank. Maybe not literally, but that phrase, right? God is patient, and he is steadfast, and his will endure. And so let's remember that word picture that we kind of see and that pictures that we bring up through the different languages of the Bible that really build out this meaning of patience, how God is patient with us, how he expects us to be patient with one another and with him. And so let's remember that word picture I was talking about, that long nose, you know, not as Pinocchio, not as lying Pinocchio, but that long nose, taking that deep breath. You know, moments that can lead to frustration and quick anger, let's take that deep breath. Let's relax. Let's have long suffering. Let's be patient. And so let's grow in patience and let's have the endurance, steadfast endurance until the end, when that hope is finally realized.